If you're looking for material for your podcast, go to an Armenian Genocide commemoration speech. Listen to it. Oh, man, there's so much to talk about, including the Promise movie. This is Father Voskin. I'm a priest of the Armenian Church, connecting the dots between the spiritual, the emotional, the psychological, and the physical. This is episode 464 of The Next Step, and we're asking you to take it with us right now.
This is Susie from In His Shoes, welcoming you to our ninth year of broadcasting The Next Step. The Next Step is a step, a stride, moving us forward. Here, Father Voskin provides his unique and distinctive voice for Armenian Orthodoxy, giving an intelligent and practical answer to the challenges of life, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by Jesus Christ. It's a practical approach to melding spirit and passion in the real world. The Next Steps are serious, fun, informative, and most of all relevant, as religion should be. So get ready. We're taking the next step.
And the headline reads, Los Angeles Mayor declares today La La Land Day. April 25th. Los Angeles Mayor declares today La La Land Day. It should be La La Land Day. Absolutely. I saw the movie too. It was a great movie. Loved it. But interesting that just one day earlier, April 24th, the same mayor, Los Angeles Mayor, as well as hundreds of other mayors, went out and stood in solidarity with the Armenian community, declaring that they will never forget the Armenian genocide. And we applauded them. We got so excited on April 24th. The mayors, can you imagine the mayor of a city gets up and he says that, I will remember the genocide. And we applauded him. And the next day, same mayor declares today La La Land Day. Now, what I'm going to share with you today is that transition between genocide, probably the most horrific, if not the most horrific crime imaginable. When you talk about inhumanity, you're pushing it. You're pushing all the way to the edge. How do you go from genocide to La La Land Day in 24 hours and retain a smile and keep it up? And why are we so gullible to applaud these people and get excited that they acknowledge an Armenian genocide? Yes, it is the post-genocide commemoration edition of The Next Step. And you know what? We go through this every year, and I had a completely different next step prepared for you today. I was going to go into some other areas, and then I said, no, wait a minute. If they have the nerve and the audacity to throw this at us every year, I should have the same courage every year to present to you who we are, why we're here, and basically reaffirm the message that we have. It's not a message that I came up with. It's a message that Jesus Christ gives us. It's the Christian response to something as horrific as genocide. It's the foundation for In His Shoes. And so today's podcast is going to be a reaffirmation of the In His Shoes model. So how do you get from genocide to La La Land Day? Well, it's been a really wild week. And I want to share with you some of the things that took place, the places that I was. I'm going to share with you at a high school, at a college, at a law school, in fact. I'm going to share with you what happened when I went to the Armenian Martyrs Monument in Montebello. I'm going to share with you a very special and uplifting liturgy that we celebrated Monday night, the message of hope that came out of there, and a direction for tomorrow. Is that fair enough? I think so, and I hope you do too. Because when we're looking for a message from the church, when we're looking for answers from the church, when we claim that the church is the body of Christ, that church cannot be a follower. That church has to be leading. It has to be giving us a direction. We go to all kinds of lengths to strip away some of the hoopla and present to you Armodoxy. Well, let me give you an Armodox response to an Armenian genocide, to genocide in general. What is our response? What do we do with it? As you know, for the past several years, In His Shoes has been at the forefront of not commemorating a genocide, but helping stop one. And when we look at the trials and tribulations in the world, it behooves us right now, and no other time better than right now, for us to stand up and apply our faith to the suffering in the world. In 1915, the world responded to the Armenian genocide as those three monkeys: see no evil, hear no evil, and therefore speak no evil. And basically what we're doing today, by applauding all these extra curricular activities that are taking place, what we're doing is we're basically closing our ears, closing our eyes, and closing our mouth. So what I want to share with you today is a real approach to addressing the genocide. Comes from the heart. It's something you've heard before here on The Next Step. But I know that there's an audience out there that needs to hear it, and I know that there's an audience that has not heard it. So I want to present it to you, and I guarantee we'll present it in a unique manner by giving you some of the incidents, the anecdotes that took place during the week. The first event that I had was at John Burroughs High School. It was a young group of people, well, high school students, but a young group of leaders within that school that had invited me to go there. And I thought I was going to speak to an Armenian club. Lo and behold, I get there and they've reserved the school auditorium at the high school. And I'm addressing the student body during the lunchtime. And the topic is the Armenian Genocide. And I looked out at the people, and I looked how young they were. Of course, my first thing, my recollection, whenever I get to one of these genocide gatherings, is to reflect and reminisce when we were growing up. Each of these events had genocide survivors sitting in that front row, some of which would get up and share their stories. And here I was, realizing that I've been put in that task. I'm the genocide survivor. Yes, removed by it by a couple generations, but I have those stories. And so as I listened to the introduction, the young man who introduced me, as I listened, I could see the despair. And his first comment was, "Today, America does not recognize the Armenian Genocide." And that's the platform from which I want to go. Like, really? America does not accept the genocide. And you know what? There were people that were holding their breath. In fact, one of the Armenian newspapers came out with an editorial. Believe this, and those of you who have been listening to Next Step will get a good chuckle out of this, okay? The editorial was, "Will Trump recognize the Armenian genocide?" Yeah, we're still at that point. Yeah. Yeah. In other words, we need validation. And this poor kid had gotten up, and here with his whole life in front of him, he's getting up and saying that America, this beautiful, huge country, was not accepting the truth that he knows as truth. And so think of it psychologically. Think of what happens to him. So anyway, he invited me up, and my first challenge in front of this young group was to present what genocide is. And this is very important, that we recognize that genocide is not a war. Genocide is quite different. It's the government saying that a certain group of people do not belong. Their existence is extra. You need to wipe out that group of people. In this case, the Ottoman Turks saying that the Armenians need to be wiped out. And so you have laws that are written, laws that are given that say the Armenians must be wiped out. And if you do not wipe them out, Here's the big thing. If you do not wipe them out, you are what? In violation of the law. So not only are there laws to sanction, to give you the right to kill Armenians, but now you have the obligation to kill Armenians. That's what genocide is. It's a systematic annihilation. It's a planned annihilation of a group of people. It's planned. It's orchestrated. And I shared with the kids this story, and I got so many people who just came up and were really taken by the story of that I presented. I went to my grandmother's story in particular, one where she buries her child. And I think young kids could understand or at least relate. She was 22 years old, walking through the desert and having to dig a makeshift grave to bury her child. I mean, what are you supposed to be doing at age 22? What's a young girl supposed to be doing at age 22? Certainly not be concerned about her husband has been taken off in the middle of the night and her child is dying of malaria and dysentery. And she digs a ditch and she's forced to leave her child there in the desert and then continue walking. You talk about inhumanity. I shared with you when I got back from Rwanda, the point at which it really hit me was when I had gone to a gathering of women who were widows, and it was a gathering of widows and orphans. And there was about 200 people in front of me. And these were all genocide survivors from the Rwandan genocide. And the way we would do it was we'd go to these different events and they would talk in Kinyarwandan or in French and translate for us, the six or seven of us in our group, translate to us in English. And so the man was asking them questions and he asks them, he says, "How many of you here are widows?" And every one of them raised their hand and they told me, well, this is a widow's center. And of course, that's where they were. They were there for the care. Now, the next question is what really hit me was he then asked, "How many of you have HIV/AIDS? And all of them kept their hands up. Now, when you talk about inhumanity, there's the inhumanity level, okay? We saw it in Turkey, in the Armenian genocide, the inhumane way of beheading, of slicing women, pregnant women, their wombs, taking children out and putting them on bayonets. Inhumane. It's like beyond comprehension how somebody can do this animalistic kind of behavior. Well, it was the same thing in Rwanda. Why were these women left as survivors? That was the key. These women were left to survive because they had been infected with HIV/AIDS. The perpetrator raping these women infects them with HIV/AIDS and lets them live. Does not kill them. Why? Because they will infect the rest of the population. Inhumane, right? You can't even think of that. As a normal, as a human person, you can't think of that kind of sadistic means of cruelty. And yet we're standing there in Rwanda in the year 2006. I'm listening to this. You know, we have means of taking people up to different planets and conquering all kinds of different evils here and there and going underneath the water and holding our breath and doing all this and making movies. Yes. And doing all kinds of wonderful things. And we're still talking about, inhumanity at this level. Well, I shared stories like that with the high school kids, and it was an eye opener for them. The following day, we went out to see The Promise. Have you seen it yet? Have you seen The Promise? Okay. You know what? I'm going to do The Promise right after the story, after the song. Okay. Let me share with you some more stories because The Promise was very special. Did you like it? I hope you did. It was a very special movie and it was very emotional for me. I shared with you last week that I was going to go and I did give you some previews of it, not knowing what was coming up. But I guess we're in sync, right? Because what I was telling you last week, yes, there it was on the big screen, especially the Musadov story. So anyway, let me get to the promise after today's song. Let me continue a little bit more. So we were, we saw the promise on Saturday night. We took a large group. Actually, my son Christopher was unable to go, so we cheated. Susan and I took him on Friday night to see it. So we got two peeks at it. Yeah. Anyway, in a few minutes, I'll talk about the promise. Now, I also had a chance to speak at another school, and that was at the Whittier Law School. And these were law students, and it was a different way of approach, but still the same amount of information I had to pass along, because again, we're still unfamiliar with this idea of genocide. And I needed to present to them how intense genocide is and the legal matters that come with genocide. We talked a little bit about the New York Life cases. I was named in one of them, and as you know, very, very close to me. So we had a chance to talk about these things, but also about our responses to these genocides. And that's where we're coming into the In His Shoes portion. We're going to be coming in a few minutes, and I want you to understand, when I talk about what In His Shoes is, it's not just an organization. It's a way of taking this intense, intense hatred and really turning it into a message of hope and a means of hope, a means of salvation. It's exactly what Christ did on the cross, right? He took this intensity of the cross. And from the cross, what he did on the day of resurrection, he transformed that cross into a means of salvation. And so if we're going to be true to the Christian message, if we're going to call ourselves Christian, what we need to do is take the message of Christ and use that as the metaphor, as the means, as the structure, as the outline, as the pattern for our lives. In other words, to see those crucifixions and transform them into resurrections, into opportunities for resurrection. And so the message that I had at the college was one about us being those agents of transformation. Now we're getting to In His Shoes. That's coming up, okay? But I'm just trying to fill you in. Now, what happened in between these schools? Of course, we had the show, but also I was at the Armenian Martyrs Monument. Now, in preparing for today's show, I have to tell you, if you need material for a podcast, all you have to do is listen to an Armenian genocide speech. I can't tell you, it's the same rhetoric. It's been 50, 50, 60 years we've been listening to it. It's the same rhetoric. And who are the people that they bring up to the stage, to the platform? Politicians. Like I said, mayors of towns. They have nothing to do with genocide, but they'll promise you that they're going to prevent genocide in the future. How about this one? Are you ready for this one? They brought the treasurer of the state of California. Go figure that one out, right? The treasurer of the state of California got up and he said, genocide is a horrible thing. Well, yeah, thank you. No duh. And over, I heard this woman at, there was a big march on the 24th. I wasn't there because I was speaking at the college, trying to do something a little bit more productive. I heard this woman, I watched it on the internet afterwards. If you heard her speech, you'd cringe. She made references to the Jewish Holocaust. And saying we have to stand with the Jewish people. Yes, we have to stand with them. We have to stand with everyone else. Let me tell you, as much as we complain that the United States has not accepted the genocide, neither has Israel. Let me tell you, there's differences between the Armenian genocide and the Holocaust. And if we're going to take an example from them, let's take the example of what happened when President Trump's man got up and he dared to liken what's going on in Syria with what happened with Hitler and said, I don't remember. What a this is kind of really bonehead thing. He said, I don't think that Hitler used gas against his people. I go, what? Yeah, we all thought it was absurd, but you know what? To the Jewish Defense Leagues and everything in that genre, every organization in that genre was down the president's throat on this one. It was impressive. It's impressive to see that kind of response immediately, not waiting for other people. This is our genocide. We will talk about it on our terms. That's the message that was sent out to us by the Jewish people. And that's what we need to do with the Armenian genocide. This is our genocide. We know what happened. Now remember, I got back from Standing Rock. What were some of the expressions that I shared with you about Standing Rock? No matter what, I felt like an outsider. And all of us felt like outsiders because this was the Native American battle. And so, yes, they're very happy that we're standing in solidarity, but it's their battle. And so, too, with each of these genocides, they give you an opportunity. They give you an opportunity to be able to bring it into terms for your people. And so that's what In His Shoes does. We as Armenian people have this incredible history of survival against the odds. Over and over again, we have survived against the odds. Now, is that a story that we can tell to people? Yes, it is. Now, we have very few people. And so what we need to do is we have to figure out a means of leveraging what we do have, the resources that we do have. How do we leverage so that we can bring about change? You know, Archimedes, right? It was Archimedes, I think he said it. He says, give me a lever long enough and I could lift the earth. I could lift the world. Yes, that's what levers do, right? You need to find the fulcrum and you need to find a point at which you can place that lever so that you can move the general consensus. You can move that hatred and we can do it. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit more about this after we go over the movie, The Promise. And I promise that right after the song of the day. Today, I picked out something from Armenian Public Radio. This is an old song, and I picked it up because we're talking about old things, right? This is called Hingala. It's a very traditional song, a traditional Armenian song, and presented in a very nice and brisk format. Armenian Public Radio.
Ingala, Ingala, Yerkavaray de. ներքերին, երկը բոցած չերին, երկը զվարդ օրերին, երկը վար այդ էրին, երկը բոցած չերին, երկը զվարդ օրերին.
Armenian Public Radio, that song, of course, Hingala, a very traditional, popular song. You hear ensembles sing this. You hear soloists sing this. A beautiful, beautiful song. In fact, I had a chance to do that Hingala, Hingala, Hingala. And just recently, a dear friend of mine, who you know too, dear friend of mine found the record. Yes, this is called a record. Before CDs, this was like, had a little hole in the middle. And he gave me this record. I've got to digitize it. I've got to find the equipment to digitize it. Once we do, we'll present it to 1968 recording of Hingala. You're going to like it, okay? If we can transfer it. Anyway, this was Armenian Public Radio. We had a chance to see them a couple of years ago when they were in Los Angeles. Incredible, beautiful group of musicians that get together and share their talent. We will have a link on today's show notes so you could check out not only this song, but all of their great music.
White houses and neat little rows contrasting against the sky. Tumble down black shacks over the tracks, children so hungry they could cry. The chrome, the steel, the metal dream, leaving the TV to rot. The escapist young mind left behind.
Our revenge will be to survive. That's the message that came out of the promise. That's the message that I got. Beautiful movie. Now, spoiler alert. Okay? I'm not going to spoil it for anybody. I'll try not to spoil it for anybody because I know that it hasn't had an international release, and I know there's some of you that are listening. If you I won't mess it up. The only spoil I'll give you is that Gilligan never gets off the island, okay? Now, there's a spoiler, right? If you watch Gilligan's Island and you're wondering, will he get off the island? No, he doesn't get off, okay? So I ruined that series for you. I won't ruin The Promise for you. But I do want to say it was a beautiful, beautiful movie. That had an impact. I think it set out to do something, and it did it very nicely. Think about it in these terms. How would you get people to spend money to go to a theater and watch a movie about genocide? And you go to a movie to be entertained. Isn't that why you go to a movie? You want to go there to be entertained. Great entertainment value, right? So how do you get them to come and watch something about a genocide? Well, they built a story, and it was a very nice story. It wasn't overly complicated. It was a very nice story about a promise. It's a love story, complete with triangles, squares, rectangles, all kinds of stuff in it. Yeah, it's all there. But you get... I was trying to watch it if I was not Armenian, and that's impossible, okay, because the genocide is so ingrained in you. And someone like me, I'm just watching, I'm looking for all these different things. But how would I perceive it if I was an Armenian, if I hadn't grown up with the Armenian genocide reality, the stories? Okay, it's an entertaining story. And in the background, we're learning about this horrific event that takes place in 1915, the ethnic cleansing of Armenians in the Ottoman Empire. And I think it achieved exactly what it wanted to do. Open up the story to non-Armenians. And in that respect, it was wonderful. We took a group, we actually rented out a theater, and it was so nice. The theater was just wonderful. To us, they gave us an opportunity to turn off the projector, actually, and make some announcements, to talk to the audience. And, you know, I didn't know that that was even possible. But we rented out a theater. They showed the promise. We had a chance to meet with a lot of people before and afterwards. It was a very special evening. So as I shared with you, the idea of revenge, this one little passage, this one little statement that was made, it says, survival is going to be our best revenge. And that really reverberated in me because, to me, that idea of revenge. You know, we Armenians, we name our children after these concepts. Can you believe that? We name children resurrection, autotune. We name children revenge, vrej. Can you believe that? Yeah, we name our kids revenge. That's kind of cool, huh? Okay, so survival is going to be our best revenge. Now, think about this. How about loving? How about not only surviving, but prospering after that? Not only prospering, but sharing our prosperous situation with others is going to be our best revenge. And that's what we try to do through In His Shoes. At the time of the genocide, I could see somebody saying that if we survived, that would be our revenge. Today, 100 years later, we have to expand that statement to include that our best revenge is going to be to help others, to share the love that we have in our hearts, to share the love that Christ has placed in our hearts through our faith. Now, to get to that point, you have to, you know, have to believe, but you have to go through the system. It can't just be like, okay, yeah, now we survive, we're going to do that. But you have to believe in a certain set of principles, namely in what Christ teaches from the cross to the resurrection and that ultimate victory of life over death. So there we are at this Promise movie, and we hear this statement, and it reverberates. It says that there's the In His Shoes message in the year 1915 coming out. Almost a prophecy. Hey, do you want to seek revenge? Then survive. That's number one. The other one that kind of got to me, I don't know how other people, I think that revenge statement, I think, hit everybody who saw the movie. But there is another statement that hit me in particular. There is a point at which the journalist is talking, and the Armenian character turns to him and says, what do? You go back to your safe home in America and you write about this tragedy over here. And that's an important statement because so many times on these horrific, horrific events that are taking place, especially today in the world, you think, what can I do? Is it really right? I'm sitting in the comfort of my home. I have electricity. I have hot water. I have my iPad in front of me. I have my iPhone up to my ear. I have a computer I could connect with everybody I want. What am I doing? Am I doing justice to these horrible situations, to these cataclysmic situations from the comfort of my home? And can I do justice to it? I guess that's the question. And so the movie did, you know, give you a set of challenges as a human being. Like, how would you respond to these certain set of conditions if you found yourself in the middle of something like this? Unexplainable, horrific ideas going on back and forth, inhumanity to the umpteenth level. How would you react to these things? So in many ways, Promise did exactly what it set out to do. It also went a little bit more. It pushed us a little bit to think of ourselves. I think it had a message for non-Armenians, and it had a message for Armenians as Armenians to be able to look at it and say, what would I have done had I been in those same shoes? And I think that's the challenge really that comes out. And that's really one of the problems that I have with many of the Armenian commemorations, that they don't go that extra step. And all they do is they complain about what's happened in the past. They commemorate a tragedy in the past without looking for an opportunity to affect the tomorrow. That's where In His Shoes comes in. This was established in 2003 by a young group of kids who I gave them this problem. I said, you are now three or four generations removed from the genocide. Is it real? What do you care about it? What can you do? They came up with this idea that the only way that you could make sense out of something unexplainable as a genocide, like, you know, the mass slaughter of human beings to the tune of 1.5 million people, it's beyond comprehension. I mean, think about even the number, right? You can think about 10 people, can't you? You could picture that. You could picture 100 people. You could think about a theater and think about 100 people there. You could think about 1,000 people. You could probably get up to maybe into the tens of thousands by picturing a stadium, right? A stadium that has 30, 40,000 seats. That's quite a bit of people, right? Now, if a stadium has 50,000, okay? Now, think about that. 20 of those stadiums would make 1 million, right? 30 of those stadiums is exactly what we're talking about. You talk about a city, 200,000, 300,000, 400,000. How many of these can you comprehend, right? Can you think of that one moment you have this population? And can you imagine that entire city and 10 others like it where it's void of people? There's no noise. There's no human life left. I mean, what I'm saying is it's unimaginable. It's very difficult to even comprehend, to get to that point, to think about these numbers, 1.5 million. So how do we answer something as big as genocide? And the truth is that you answer it by doing the good, doing the right, at all levels, because that is the proof of your survival. I mean, that's where the dots were connected for me. All these years we've been doing it, but when I heard that statement about our survival is our best revenge, well, yeah, that's it. You prove your survival how? Not by existing, but by doing. By being that agent that is out there to help others, by not being the monkey that closes its eyes, closes its ears, closes its mouth to the troubles, to the hatred, the persecution, to the genocides that are going on in the world. And so In His Shoes was born in 2003, and since that time we've been doing outreach programs on small levels, on large levels. We've raised money for children in starving Africa to the tune of $500,000. And continuously we do outreach programs to local food shelters. I've asked for other communities to share in this. There have been uprisings of 2 or 3 other communities that have shared with me that they've taken the name In His Shoes. It's been nice, but it hasn't been ongoing. You need that kind of that commitment. You need to have somebody in charge. And that's been one of our downfalls, that apart from our center, our core, where we're at, we have a lot of people who claim with In His Shoes, who understand the In His Shoes philosophy, but to be able to organize has been difficult. Now, the question is, do we want to organize in these places? Well, yeah, it'd be nice. It's always nice. We think that the concept is nice. In His Shoes really fits in what Jesus Christ talks about too. It fits in all kinds of models, right? It fits especially in Armenian model. When we say Tzavat Danim, let me feel your pain. How do I feel your pain? By walking in your shoes. And so on the local levels, what we do is we organize food drives, organize toy drives definitely at Christmas, but also weekly, monthly food drives where we minister to the homeless population. And we have opportunities to witness at those events. When people ask, why are you doing this? Well, because we were at one time homeless. And that's the connection that we need to make. When you see these movies, when you read about the Armenian Genocide, when once a year we wake up that we're Armenian and we remember the past, it's important to continue it the next day and the next day and the next day by talking about that genocide, not as an event in history, but as the catalyst for which you are living, for your purpose. It's exactly the same way that I approach the resurrection, the same way that I approach the Christmas message. You've heard me enough say it enough, right? It's okay, you celebrate Easter. You wake up and you say Christ is risen. But it has to have meaning every day of your life by showing that good can overcome evil, by showing that life is more powerful than death. You get up in the morning and you celebrate Christmas, but what's the good of it unless you can make Christmas on December 26th, 27th, January 7th, January 8th by talking about Jesus being born in our lives today and us bringing that birth through the good deeds that we do, through the righteousness that we live. And here's the power of it. This is the power of a church that's living, a church that's dynamic. A church that's living is an extension of Jesus Christ because Jesus Christ is living. That's how simple it is. And Jesus Christ is living because his body is functioning. It has to function. It's not just a place to get up and make stories, talk about stories about this and that. I've been through that. In fact, just recently, somebody said that you don't need to do these kind of things. You know, church should just be a place where I go and I say my prayer, I light my candle and go home. Well, I'm sorry, that's not a church, you know? To me, that's what I do at cemeteries, right? Go there, right? Light a candle, say a prayer, and I'm out of there, right? It signals a death. A church is not a cemetery. A church is not a museum. A church has to be the body of Christ doing the work of Christ. By walking in the shoes of others, we understand what that means. It's just a means by which we deliver the services of the church. This week was April 24th week. We had an opportunity to once again get a booster shot of Armenianism. For me, it's a booster shot of Christianity, because to me, this is the Christian experience manifest. It needs to be manifested. I've shared with you too many stories. I remember the Indian patriarch who showed me the ring of the Catholicos, and he shared with me that the Armenians have been the only people who have never enjoyed Christianity without suffering. He says, you have a mission. It's the same story that I felt when I was standing in Rwanda. And each of these stories that I bring to you every week all signal to the same outcome, that our only salvation here on earth is going to be for us to reach out to one another. If we want to fly, we have to be each other's wings. What's that statement? Humans are angels with one wings. You need to hang on to one another to fly. And we have this opportunity through In His Shoes. We have this opportunity given to us at Christmas time, at Easter time, at genocide commemoration, and just about every other day when you see the sun come up. In fact, Martin Luther King makes a very beautiful statement about promise. He says, our Lord has written the promise of resurrection, not in books alone, but in every leaf in springtime. Excuse me, I said Martin Luther King. I'm sorry, that's Martin Luther. Yeah, I know. It's easy to make that mistake. Martin Luther said that. Our Lord has written the promise of resurrection, not in books alone, but in every leaf in springtime. Just beautiful. Look around you. You have opportunities to share the goodness of God, the grandeur of God, the promise of God. You have the opportunity to share the love of God. Why not do it? That's what we're called to do as Christians. That's the highest calling. That's what I know I'm called to do. That's what every priest has to be called to. That's what every minister of the gospel has to be called to. That's what anyone who is challenged, who looks at the empty tomb, who has seen the crucifixion, who has seen the blood drops come down off of that cross and wondered why, and then seen the empty tomb and understand that there is a hope for tomorrow in that empty tomb. Everyone who has seen that has now an obligation to get out there and make that empty tomb story, make the promise of life over death, the promise of love over hate, the promise of good over evil, the one that we accept as humanity for our salvation and for the salvation of this world. And so, the final bit of commemorative act that we did as an Inner Shoes group was we had a liturgy. We celebrated with a worship service. Yes, we moved from commemoration to celebration. As we should, right? Commemorating the cross of Christ, you celebrate the resurrection of Christ at Easter Sunday. So too, you commemorate the Golgotha of the Armenian people, of the genocide. You celebrate where you're at right now because it is an opportunity to share and witness to the power of the good over the evil. Here is the power of your faith in action. And so we got together, and this was really beyond what I expected. As a good group of people, we had used the St. Mark's Episcopal Church for this liturgy, authorized and given us approval by the diocesan primate to do this right in the heart of Glendale. And here's the interesting thing. It was an English language service melded in with Armenian Sharagan's hymns. And there were enough people that whose primary language was Armenian, and they had come. Why? Because it is a worship service. Because it's not about language. There were people from all walks of life, all different backgrounds, and we got together and we commemorated with a celebration of life. And these services, this is the second one we've done, and they're coming along. It's a way for us to put into action what we believe, so that by celebrating, we're sharing with the world that we're not going to be stuck with this negativity. We're not going to be stuck with this baggage. We're not going to be stuck thinking that we have to ask other people to validate our reality. Instead, we are validating it with what? Not just commemorating, not just talk, but by doing the good work, by doing the works that God asks us to do. And I've got news for you. It's not going unnoticed. There is enough people that are noticing this kind of action that I'm going to tell you that by next year, you're going to see a big movement towards this idea of celebration. So I need your prayers on this too. We did, Dr. Yvette of Sepien Bierce. She gave the homily that evening. And it was wonderful. If you haven't seen the pictures, they're up on Facebook. I'll see if I can get a couple pictures up with the show notes today. She did something really, really cute. In the homily, she had tied together small little sandals. And we didn't know that. We didn't know she had, there was just string on the floor. So all of a sudden, as she was talking, she started reeling in this string. And St. Mark's Church is a good, I'd say a good hundred, a couple hundred feet, you know, from one side to the other, from the altar area. So we're just seeing her reel in this string, and in come these tiny little sandals. And she spoke about the In His Shoes ministry. She spoke about taking the next step. And the next step is exactly that step. So it was a beautiful, beautiful homily. I don't know if it exists. I've got to find out if somebody did record it. And if it did, we'll make sure that it gets up on our usual platforms and we'll share it with you. I know. I did promise you Dr. Bierce would be speaking, would be in an interview this week on the next step. We're going to hold off for about a week on that one, okay? So bear with me next week. We'll have that. But that's how we did the commemoration. So we saw the whole gamut of whether we talked to people, we commemorated by attending events, by protesting and all the other things. But at the end of it, we witnessed to the resurrected Lord by witnessing to the resurrected people of the Lord. And that's important, that we make a connection. It's not pie in the sky. It applies to each of us. The Armenian people become the example of the resurrected people, of the resurrected the resurrected people of God. So beautiful, beautiful opportunity for us to share in that faith. And that's how we put together this year, 2017. So you see why I had to share this all with you. And sometimes it gets repetitive, but it's important that we repeat these kind of good stories as well. We're going to take a break right now. Let Susie make her announcement. Bear with me a couple moments. I'll be back and share with you some more.
Susie here again. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are now in the ninth year of producing shows which are heard around the globe. Since 2008, we've provided quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. Please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Thank you, Susie, for that message. And thanks to all of you for every word that you share with us, your emails, your thoughts, and of course, your prayers. They go a long way to ensure the continuity of these podcasts. We are doing okay. We're coming up on starting year number 10 next month. And I'm wondering, how do you want to celebrate? I would love to hear from you, okay? There's some of you that have been around for all those 10 years, as us old codgers. Love to hear from you how you'd like to celebrate. Today we did a little something different, like I said at the beginning. You know, it's like if you really need material for a podcast, listen to one of these speeches and you fill it up. Well, that's what happened. I promised you last week that we're going to have Yvette Hovsepian-Beers talking about the refugees situation. She did come to studio. We did record it. I preempted her with today's podcast. Okay. So she's on for next week. We'll definitely have her on for next week. You won't want to miss it. It's a great, great podcast. It's a great interview where she talks candidly about the situation. Today, I just kind of needed this opportunity to vent myself, having been through commemorative activities. There's a futility that goes in it, and you realize that there was a better way of doing it. You need to share it with people. As I shared with you earlier, we need to figure out a way of really promoting the In His Shoes mission and really getting it out there. So I'm counting on you. Keep those prayers going. Pray for the In His Shoes mission, for the concepts, for the philosophy, and know that it is in step with Christ. I want to thank you very much for joining us today. I hope you enjoyed today's show as much as we enjoyed producing it for you. You can get in touch with us by all the usual means. Best way for email is feedback@apostle.net. Apostle, there's a name for you. That's Apostle with an E. Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic and Expanding. Of the wonderful people who put today's show together, Susie, our producer, Ken, our engineer. This is Father Vazgen inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Take it from- Last cut out!